Welcome to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is a part of our message series, The Monster in Me. More destructive than alien invaders from another galaxy, it will numb your soul, steal your life, and threaten your most treasured relationships. We're talking about pride. Join us to learn how you can overcome this monster and save your world forever.
Hello, New Point. We're glad that you're here today, and we're in a series called The Monster in Me. And I just want to let you in on a little secret. The boogeyman is not real. Vampires are not real. Alien invaders are not real. None of those are real. But what makes the monster in me, pride, so scary is that it is real. It's real. And it's in you, and it's in me. And we can harbor it. And not only harbor it, we can feed it. And what it feeds off of is our emotions. And when you and I get emotional about a situation or about a circumstance or about a person or about a decision, then what happens is it feeds our pride. And the monster in me and the monster in you comes alive. And we tend to embrace it. But what happens many times is we think that we can control it. We think that we kind of have it on a leash and we can maneuver it and turn it on and turn it off. The problem is it has you and it has me on a leash. And pride has the potential to destroy everything that you value, every relationship that you're in. Now, you might say, Dwight, is there a good pride? Sure there is. You know, it's okay to be proud of your kids and things of that nature. What happens is when pride arises in you and me, and we think that it makes us better or entitled to certain things, that's when it's not good pride. And so let me explain it to you this way. And here's the definition that we are working off of in looking at the monster in me. Pride, the mindset of self, a master's mindset rather than that of a servant. That I'm large and I'm in charge. And I'm going to do what's best for me. And I'm not going to think of you. I'm not going to think of others. It's a focus on self and the service of self, a pursuit of self-recognition. Look at me! And self-exaltation and a desire to control and use things for self. Wow. You see, what happens is we have a tendency to think that pride is just about the person who's very arrogant and loud and noisy. But it can be in the sweet little calm person who wants to control everything for themselves and use everything for themselves. And what that does is that puts you and me in prison. It puts you and me in bondage. And as we learned last week, it marginalizes me. It marginalizes others in my life. And ultimately, it marginalizes God. And it keeps me from the best of life, of what God desires for you and what He desires for me. You see, it's that pride that makes you so big and so large that no one else can fit into the room because there's only room for you. Because you're full of pride. And so what does it look like when you and I become so big that there's not room for anyone else? Well, let me give you some help with that. We've said that pride renders us unteachable. We're just not teachable. We know better than everybody. And so I'm not teachable. I don't want to hear what you have to say. It closes our minds to feedback. We don't want to have feedback. We don't want to hear from somebody else. It prevents us from admitting our mistakes. We want to cover them up. We don't want anybody to know that we messed up. It also limits our gratitude. What happens is when you and I allow this monster to come alive in you and me, what happens is one of the signs is you're not grateful. You're not grateful. You lack gratitude. It keeps us from making changes. We don't want to change. We just want to remain the way that we are. It distorts our perspective. What happens is when pride rises up in me or pride rises up in you, it distorts everything around me because now my emotions are involved. And pride feeds off of emotions. And so when I get in the argument with my wife, or you get in the argument with your husband or your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or your mom or your dad or a boss or something at work, what happens is your emotions get involved because your pride is being fed. And what happens is you just don't see straight. I don't see straight, which keeps us from being honest. And so what happens is we lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves, and the reason why we lie to ourselves and the reason why we lie to others is because we want to keep up our image. We have an image to keep up. And the reason why we want to keep up that image is because the monster is alive in us. Pride destroys relationships. It's a killer. It's a killer because I can't admit that I'm wrong. I can't apologize. I can't do any of those things because pride says no, no, no. And pride stops us from being generous. From being generous. We pull back because we don't think somebody is deserving of this or that. And so pride is a deadly, deadly thing. And what we're learning about pride is that when it comes in my life and it comes in your life, it'll always lead to destruction. It'll always lead to destruction. And so it keeps you and I from admitting that we need help. It keeps you and I from initiating what needs to be initiated. It keeps you and I from giving what needs to be given. It keeps you and I from listening to what needs to be heard. It keeps you and I from changing what needs to be changed. And so it just feeds. That's why we gossip. The reason why we gossip is because of pride. Because I want you to know that I know something that you don't know. And so we share it. And there's something about knowing something that nobody else knows. And what it feeds on is pride. And so what we're doing in this series called The Monster Is Me, in Me, is we're calling it out. We're naming it. We're laying it right before us, and we're saying, this is pride, and it's deadly. It's deadly, and it's easier to see in other people than it is in our own self. And so we want to recognize it. We want to be able to name it. We want to be able to deal with it. And so today, I want us to look at another aspect of where pride can happen in my life and pride can happen in your life. And it's in the area of what the world defines as greatness. What the world defines as greatness, the world's definition of greatness. And as I list these, you might say, well, that's not true of me, that's not true of me, that's not true of me, that's not true of me. I don't think that way. And what happens is when you don't recognize this in you, when I don't recognize it in me, then what happens is I will abuse it because I won't realize it. So what's the world's definition of greatness? One would be power, right? Power. And the reason why we think that this is great is because people pay attention to people who, quote unquote, have power. And so we want power. Because when you have power, you're in charge. When you have power, people are careful around you. When you have power, you have options. When you have power, people look at you differently. And so there's something in all of us in one way or another. Because what is pride? It's the willingness and the desire to control things and to control people. That would be power. And so we would say, she's a powerful woman. Or he's a powerful man. And so that's how the world describes greatness. How much power do you have? How about this one right here? Prestige. Prestige is another thing that the world would describe as greatness. Prestige comes from a variety of sources. It might be your wealth. It might be your smarts. It might be your accomplishments. It might be your relationships. It might be who you know. It might be where you live. It might be what you drive. It might be where you got your diploma. It might be where you work. But there's a sense of prestige that kind of sets you apart, that causes us to think that maybe we're a little bit different, we're a little bit better. And so we look for that power and we look for that prestige. But another way in which the world describes greatness is through possessions. Possessions, what you have, what you own, where you live, stuff, resources. And it may come from a number of different areas. It may come from the fact that you were just born in the right family, or you married into the right family. Or, you know what? Just things went well for you, and they fell in pleasant places. And what happened is you've made a lot of money, and so you have a lot of stuff. And we say, you know what? I'd like to have that, because that conveys who I am. That conveys how important I am. And the world defines greatness by possessions, by salary, all of that. And then I would say that the world defines greatness by position. By position. And we do this. And so what do? Where do you work? What do you do for a living? And what we're really asking is this: what position do you hold in society? And what we're trying to do is we're trying to sum up this person. We're trying to be able to think to ourselves, okay, where are they on the pecking line? Where are they on the pecking order? Where are they? And so what happens is the world's definition of greatness is power and prestige and possession and position. And you might be sitting here today and you might be saying, Dwight, I don't have much power. I don't have much prestige. I don't have very many possessions. I don't even have a significant position. Can I just help you with that? To somebody you do. To somebody you do. You see, what happens is when I list these right here, okay, you're thinking of people who have more power than you. You're thinking of people who have more prestige than you. You're thinking of people who have more possessions than you. You're thinking of someone who has a quote unquote bigger position than you. But the fact of the matter is there's always someone who has more than us. And yet the fact of the matter is there's always someone who has less than us. And if you don't understand this, then what happens is you will abuse your power, You will abuse your prestige. You will abuse your possessions. You will abuse your position. And you'll find yourself using it for your advantage and not the advantage of other people. And what that does is that sets you and I up for the monster to come alive in you and in me. Now, what I want to do is I want to tell you a story. It's a Bible story. It's a historical fact. And it's about a man named Joseph. Maybe you heard of him. Okay, not Mary and Joseph. This is the Joseph with the coat of many colors. And what I want you to understand is this. He had power, he had prestige, he had possessions, and he had position. And he's basically a picture or forerunner of who Jesus was to be. And we learn this, that Jesus came into the world, and when Jesus came into the world, okay, he modeled and taught a radical, radical version of humility. He upset the apple cart of the pecking order. He redefined what greatness was. And we see here with Joseph that he was the forerunner, and he dealt with all four of these. Now, let me tell you a little bit more about Joseph. He's the guy with the coat of many colors. And he was betrayed by his brothers because they were jealous of him. And they sold him into slavery. They sold him into slavery, a caravan that went to Egypt. And when they went to Egypt, there was a man named Potiphar who bought him at the auction. So he was sold into slavery. He was betrayed by his brothers, those closest to him. Sold into slavery and bought by Potiphar. He went and he served with Potiphar, and God blessed him. But Potiphar's wife had an eye for him and brought him up on sexual harassment charges, which he was not guilty of. And he found himself in prison. And so he was lied about, not only betrayed. And he finds himself in prison. And there are two guys there, the baker and the cupbearer. And they had dreams. And he interpreted their dreams. And he said, hey, you know, if you can do me a favor, help me get out of here. And guess what? They forgot him. And then what happened one day was Pharaoh said to himself, you know what? I've had these dreams. And I don't understand them. Is there anybody here who could interpret these dreams? And they remembered, oh, the jailer, the guy there, he interpreted my dream, and it came true. And they went and they got Joseph. And Joseph came and he told Pharaoh, I can't tell your dreams. I can't interpret your dreams. Only God can. You know what that's called, my friends? Humility. And he interpreted this dream. And Pharaoh entrusted, listen to me, Pharaoh entrusted him with all of the decisions of Egypt. And he was a foreigner. Why? Because he was a man of integrity. And what God was doing through all of this time, he was testing him so that he could handle the power, the prestige, the possessions, and the position that he had for him. And maybe you find yourself there and you're thinking, you know what? I've been betrayed. I've been lied about. I've been misrepresented. Maybe, just maybe, God is preparing you so that what happens is when you experience power or prestige or possessions or position, it won't result in you being prideful. And so what happened was Joseph did that, and there came a famine. And Joseph's father heard about it. And so he sent his brothers to Egypt to get food. To make a long story short, they found out, and Joseph introduced himself to them and said, "I am your brother who you have betrayed." Of course, they were afraid and they were scared. And Joseph worked through all of that and forgave them. And they brought their father there. And there were about 75 of them. They were a nation that was called Israel. And under the next years of Joseph's leadership, this nation continued to grow and develop and grow and develop and grow and develop. And Joseph eventually died. And it says in the scripture that there rose a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. And what happened was he forgot about Joseph, did not know Joseph, and he began to mistreat the Israelites. And it led them to slavery for 400 years. And then God rose up another leader. His name was Moses. And Moses came to deliver these people out of the hands of Pharaoh. And maybe you're familiar with the 10 plagues. And God sent 10 plagues and delivered the Israelites from the hand of Pharaoh. And Moses led them out, led them across the Red Sea, and led them into the wilderness. And they were there for 40 years. 40 years. And Moses comes to the end of his life, and he has a message for these people. And he has a message for you and me, and that's where we pick it up in Deuteronomy. Here's what it says in Deuteronomy 8. He says, "Remember, remember." Because when you and I don't remember, guess what? Pride can arise in your heart and can arise in my heart. He says here, he says, "Remember how God led you through the wilderness these past 40 years. Wow. I don't want you to forget, because we have a tendency to have amnesia. We have a tendency to forget what God has done. He says, "Remember how God has led you through the wilderness these past 40 years. He humbled you by letting you go hungry. He tested you with hardships many times, to test your character and to see if you will obey whatever he commands you to do." And then he says these powerful words. He says, "Now God is bringing you into a good land, a land with plenty of water, with bountiful crops, with orchards full of fruit, abundant copper and iron in the ground, and you will lack nothing." Moses is not done. He goes on to say this, "So when you are full and satisfied and prospering, praise the Lord with gratitude for all he has given you. But be careful that you do not forget the Lord and that you continue to always obey every command of God. Otherwise, when you have built your fine houses and your gold and silver has multiplied, your heart will become proud." What's he saying? He's telling them, hey, you know what? I've been there. I've done that. You're going to need to remember, because if you don't remember all of this, then you will allow the monster to arise in you. Here's what he goes on to say. "And you will forget that it was God who saved and delivered you out of your slavery and gave all of this to you." So when you become successful, do not think, "I did this all by my own strength and I became rich by my own power." Hello? Y'all okay? When you have the power, the prestige, the position, the possessions, Don't think you did this all by yourself. That's what he's saying. He goes on. He says, remember, there it is, remember that it is God, your Lord, who gives you the ability and the strength to produce wealth. I warn you, Moses says, if you ever forget God and begin turning things into idols that you worship, if you ever begin to put power and prestige and possession and position before me, God will destroy it all and your nation, just as he has destroyed other nations before you who forgot God. Wow. You know what he's saying here? Hey, folks, pride goes before destruction. You forget who God is? You forget that it's God who brought you to this place? It'll lead you to destruction. It'll lead you to experience a great fall. And so Moses is saying to this group of people, and he's really saying to us today, remember. Remember what? What are we called to remember? We're called to remember that you're a steward. You're a steward. You say, what do you mean by that? You don't own anything. Everything has been given to you. Everything, your power, your prestige, your position, your possessions, all of that has been given to you. Here's what the psalmist writes. The earth is the Lord and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. What's he saying here? He is saying that God is the owner and that you and I are the stewards and that you and I have been entrusted. I've been entrusted with power. I've been entrusted with prestige. I've been entrusted with position. I've been entrusted with possession. And if I don't remember that I'm a steward, then I will allow this monster to arise in me. And it'll lead me down a destructive path. He says, remember that you're a steward. Also, remember that your days are numbered. You full of pride? Let me give you a good dose of humility. You're going to die. You're going to die. And some of us are wrestling right now with our mortality because we've tasted a little bit of it. We're a little bit older. We're in the fourth quarter, and it's humbling. And you're wondering now whether what you gave your life to was really worth it. Because you know that your days are numbered. That's why Moses, the guy who said in Deuteronomy, remember God, he says this. He says, teach us, O God, to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And so you and I, we're called to remember that we're a steward. We don't own anything. Everything that you have has been given to you by God. Everything, and your days are numbered. My days are numbered. And I need to remember that my stuff, your stuff, is temporary. It's just temporary. Your influence, your leadership, your bank account, your home, your car, all of that is just temporary. It's just temporary. Paul says this to Timothy. He says, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of the world. Basically said, you came into the world naked, you're going to leave the world naked. Do you know that when somebody has a funeral suit, there's no pockets? Pockets are sewed. You know why? Because you're not taking anything with you. Everything that you have and you know and you enjoy today, the power, the prestige, the position, the possessions, those are all temporary. That's humbling. So I need to remember that. And I also need to remember, you know what? I'm accountable. You're accountable. The Hebrew writer writes it like this. It's sobering, my friends. says, nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him. You know what that's saying? That's saying that God knows my motives. God knows why I do what I do. And so I could appear humble to somebody, and yet the fact of the matter is I'm full of pride. You may not know that, but God knows that. And here's what He says, to whom we must give an account. And so Moses was telling them in so many words, hey, when you go into this unbelievable land, you need to remember you're a steward. You need to remember that your days are numbered. You need to remember that it's only temporary. You need to remember. You need to remember that you're going to be accountable. See, my pride needs to hear this. And I would probably say your pride needs to hear this. Or we get caught up in the power that we have, the position that we long for, the possessions that we have, and the prestige that we feel, and we leverage it for our advantage, for our benefit. You see, here's what God's word would say to us and reminds us again and again. Let's bring it up, please. Here's what God's word says to us. Remember. Don't forget. Remember that it is God, your Lord, who gives you the ability and strength to produce wealth. I warn you. Let's bring it up, please. I warn you, if you ever forget God and begin turning things into idols that you worship, God will destroy you and your nation, just as He has destroyed the other nations before you who forgot God. So what do? When you drive up to your house and you're proud of it, you remember that it's God that enabled you to get it. When you jump into that car and you're feeling frisky and good about yourself, you remember that it's God who gave it to you. When you call a meeting and because you're in charge, other people have to show up and you sit at the head end of the table, remember that God gave you that seat. Remember when somebody comes into your life and gives you an invitation to an event that you can't believe. Remember, it is God who made that happen. You see, when you and I remember those things and we remember, oh God, you know what? You're doing this. You're bringing this about. You're making this happen. What happens is this. It humbles you. And just like Joseph, God was able to trust him with power and prestige and position and possessions. And he was able to leverage it for the nation of Israel. God will begin to trust you more. And you more, and you more, and you more. And you know what? Maybe He'll give you a little bit more power. A little bit more prestige. A little bit more position. A little bit more possession. But not if it awakens the monster in you. Not if it makes you proud and makes you think, look at me. You see, pride is deadly and it will destroy everything that you love. And so remember, no matter how much power you have, though you probably want more, no matter what position you hold, though you wish it was bigger and grander, no matter how much prestige you have, though you wish you were more known and more recognized, no matter how many possessions you have, remember, it's God who has caused you to have it. Let's pray. God, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you for stories like Moses and the Israelites that we can learn from. Because, God, we don't believe, or I don't believe, that experience is the best teacher. I believe that truth is the best teacher. And so, God, help us not to have to experience the destruction and the fall that comes because we are full of pride. But help us to experience the blessings and be grateful and not arrogant because we've learned to trust you and we have remembered that you are the giver of all good gifts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, download our app, or subscribe to our weekly podcasts through the App Store or Google Play. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.